The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Second hour of the program. A couple of things are happening or have happened since we saw you yesterday. As we began the program, we told you about Mark Emmert. He gave an interview to Heather Dinich, and we'll talk to Heather a little bit later on. Essentially, not happy with what he sees so far, thinks the season should be delayed and shortened. We now have reporting out there that the ACC, which was supposed to make a decision this week, now won't. They'll kick the can down the road. And it's all starting to come together, what's happening here in intercollegiate athletics. Every deadline that has been set has now been run through. And it's going to be delay, push. Use any metric you can. If baseball was your metric yesterday, now it's going to be the NFL. Let's see how they do. And baseball has had one terrible outbreak. Other than that, no issues. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? Let's get back to the phones at 855-242-7285. And Matt starts the second hour off. What do you say, Matt? Matt, you there? How about Shannon? Shannon, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Paul?
It's great to hear from you, Shannon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So I haven't been able to hear a lot of the first hour of the show. I've been watching the AG Barr appearance today. That, boy, you want to talk about a cluster. Jeez.
I must admit, I've been trying to watch that during the commercials, and it does at times look like a comedy hour.
Well, I'm just going to ask you this, Paul. If I ever get out of line with you, just don't try to reclaim your time while I'm trying to answer a question. That's all I've heard.
I have hired Gerald Nadler to be my executor, so you'll have to go through him.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I want to do that or not. So here's my question. Yesterday, I guess there was some sort of COVID board press conference with several doctors touting the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine as a cure for COVID. And one thing that I heard that really struck with me was that we have these high levels of positive tests that are coming back asymptomatic. And, you know, here in Georgia, we had a high school, the first day we were going to have high school practice, I guess they tested the team and had several cases of positive testing come back, but they were all asymptomatic. My question is this, Paul, if we're having high levels of testing come back as positive, yet asymptomatic positives, isn't that what we want in terms of building immunity to a virus?
Theoretically, yes.
Okay, so we have all these colleges that are having students that are testing, student athletes testing positive, but they're asymptomatic or showing very low symptoms in terms of, it seems like we would want to encourage that ability of the human immune system to fight the virus rather than continuing to isolate kids and not let them build immunity.
Listen, I'm going to say it again, Shannon. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist or an immunologist. I have no earthly idea how to answer that question.
Well, and then the other concern that I have, Paul, and this is going back to the very beginning of all this, you know, we were told that we were going to need to shut things down to flatten the curve. And never was it that we were going to shut things down till we found a cure. And I think there's enough. I know when I go to a doctor, if I hear something from my doctor I don't like, maybe I get a second opinion, you know, and sure. That's a common practice. But there seems to be a pretty big push by the media and by those in charge not to open ourselves up to any sort of alternative treatment to this virus, the hydroxychloroquine, for example. I read a Newsweek article. It was an opinion piece from Dr. Harvey Reich, who was a professor of epidemiology at Yale, who said that we already have a treatment for COVID-19 if it's applied early in the diagnosis, and that is the HCL, along with, I think it's Zithromax and zinc. He says that effectively treats it.
I mean, zinc is considered, this is based on people that I've asked, to be always a good thing for, any type of respiratory issue, upper respiratory issue. I mean, I think that, but back to the others. Shannon, I really don't know. And I am to the point where I will listen to anyone who has a thought on this, because there's no way I can tell you differently. I mean, I know what doctors have said previously. I also know what they're saying now. That's the problem. You just nailed it. And you know, if you have a serious medical condition that requires surgery or serious treatment, then you're always better to go to a second doctor and get an opinion. Everyone doesn't have the same opinion on everything, including a virus that they've never seen before.
Yes, sir, exactly. And I just think we're committing a sort of economic and cultural suicide by just shutting things down and just saying, until there's a cure, we can't fix this. Because I don't know that, who's to say, we can't even cure the common cold.
Well, don't forget, I mean, yeah, you're right. We have never been able to cure the common cold. We have billions of dollars invested in a vaccine. I don't know how many different vaccines we're going to come up with here in a few weeks. It seems like we'll probably have quite a few. And even then, Shannon, there are a lot of people that will never take this vaccine.
Oh, well, you know, there's some deep-seated beliefs here in the South, Paul, where I'm from, and I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about, that the concept of vaccination and vaccination identification scares a lot of fundamental people. And I guess the thing that bothers me the most is this, Paul, and this is, I try to look at this logically and unemotionally, but I also see that the people that have the largest opposition to the HCL treatment path are also the ones that have the largest propensity to say we need to stay locked down until there's a vaccination.
But Shannon, I just want to ask you. I want to ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
And I understand the lockdown in March. I mean, everything was shut down in this country, and it suffered greatly. But on July 28th, would you consider this country in a lockdown?
I would consider the country in a lockdown in some very critical areas. For example, schools.
Well, that's a fair response. But I'm talking about, you know, in terms of the economy, which is what we always hear, and public schools and private schools are a big part of the economy. I grant you, but excluding the universities and K through 12, 1 through 12, and all that, what is shut down today? Answer me that.
I'm in the state of Georgia. So in the state of Georgia, we are fairly open in terms of what we can do.
If you choose to go to Hartsfield and get on a plane and go to New York, or there's some places you can't go in the world because they won't take Americans, but there's not many places in this country you can't fly to today. Delta will be ready when you are.
Well, but there again, let me backtrack and say that we're pretty open in what we're doing economically, but some of the largest systems educationally have just announced they're going to push school back several weeks, and that impacts parents who don't have, they're trying to go back to work and can't because they don't have an education resource in terms of a place where their child can be. You know, we have families that I work with that are having to determine which of the parents are going to have to quit their job to stay home and monitor their children because the school systems aren't opening back up. And I say in Georgia we're in a positive situation, but there are other states in the union that aren't in that situation where they're still shutting down and worship shut down and restaurants are shut down.
Oh, I understand. Shannon, I mean, I saw in some publication today, Google, which is a pretty important company, is not letting people back in their offices until July of next year. I mean, there are a lot of office buildings and one-tenth of the, but again, there are two different issues here. You know, from an economic standpoint, if you want to go to Walmart today, you can go to Walmart. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to the department store. I mean, there's a difference in saying that the economy is shut down and certain things are not open. Let's continue with more phone calls. And how about Chris in Ohio? Chris, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Look, this is the year that we can change college football. This is the year that pass or fail, we can let every Power 5 conference in. We can let the top one, if you do the 16 playoff, you do the top, you know, outside Power 5 team gets in. And even if it doesn't, you know, work this year, you have something at the end, at the beginning of next year, that brings everyone back. But the funneling of the four-team playoff. I'm an Ohio State fan. I live in Columbus, Ohio. But I see the deterioration of college football just by the sheer fact that all the recruits are going to, like, a certain four, five, or six schools. It's leaving college football bland. And I really think this is an opportunity to really come out of the other end with something better. And this is what we got to do.
Hey, thanks for the call. Hey, Jerome, we are heading to a break. More guests to come on this very busy afternoon. Again, there's a lot of news out there, and it's all seemingly the same. Pat Forty reporting he talked to an ACC administrator at this hour, and essentially everything is going to be to be continued. They're not expected to announce anything this week. Bob Bowlesby saying the season could start on week zero and go 17 weeks. It is do anything we can to keep the season alive, and the fans are cheering that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back, and always good to catch up with Rick Caro at the beginning of the week and to get his temperature on what's happening. And we start, Rick, with the big story in sports this week, Major League Baseball, especially the team down your way, the Miami Marlins, and what does it all mean? Good afternoon, and you've got a closer view than some of us. What do you think it means, and is baseball going to survive?
I'm staying in my bubble, I'll tell you that much. I was going to go to the opener, and people advised me that I'm a moron. I still may be a moron, but I decided not to go, which is a good thing. And then at the end of the day, this is one of those things that transcends. I mean, now a number of Miami Dolphins are testing positive, and eight New England Patriots just broke. So this is inevitable, but let's remember we had a couple of positive tests in the soccer and in the basketball bubbles. Now we have zero and zero, respectively. I don't want to sound like Trump by saying it's going to go away. That's not what I mean. What I mean is the protocols are in place. And if you can stabilize above these initial volume of tests, and I admit they are higher than anybody would have thought, but you still have a plan that's very well thought out, and can baseball be saved? Well, ask me in a week. That's a sissy answer, but ask me in a week.
Yeah, but Rick, I'm curious because there's so much attention on it now, and it was so positive Thursday night, and that dissipated pretty dramatically Sunday into Monday. Then now it just seems like every report coming out is do or die, and I don't know if it's real or whether the media is rooting it on or whether it's just a big story and people don't like the management of baseball. I mean, where do you land in all that?
Do you think media roots on controversy? Come on, man. What are you talking about? Of course they're rooting it on, but not in the context of anything that is totally misrepresenting. I mean, they're reporting numbers. Now, is the number so significant that baseball doesn't have a plan for it? You know, that's why they have 30 people on deck in a 30 roster as well. Taxi squad is something we never heard in baseball. Is baseball going to allow a team, let's just assume the Marlins, because they have a long way to go anyway competitively, what if 10 of their stars are out? Are we going to allow those 10 to be replaced by 10 minor leaguers, so basically it's a minor league team? Well, is the alternative blowing up the season and not getting any TV revenue now that the product, ironically, looks pretty darn good? I mean, you have to admit that you watch the games, and at the end of the day, the crowd stuff, which I think a lot of it is stupid, where you change the color of the fans' shirts by pushing a button, I don't even want to see that. I want to see the pitcher and batter, which is a lot more competitive when you're watching it without fans, to be ironic about it and to be obvious about it. And the problem is, just as you said, Thursday night through Sunday, it was wonderful baseball. Now we have the sideshow. And by the way, I was watching the Cubs, and I got a kick out of it. Wilson Contreras hit a liner into the left field stands, and it decapitated a cardboard fan. What do you think of that?
That's great. Here we are. The biggest show in town is about to get underway. The NFL, six Patriots today opted yep. not to play. What does all that mean?
Well, it means that, just like you have some players in Major League Baseball, Price, saying, I'm not going to play because I don't want to be unsafe, you're going to have some people who don't like the protocol. It's hard to imagine the transmission and the frequency of it in a tackle football game, whether it's college or pro, and the idea of it spreading bothers some people. I think it bothers a lot of people. But yet the protocol is as good as it can get under the best practices that are shared among all leagues now. And I think just X number of players who opt out isn't going to be a death knell. Let's just see what happens next.
Rick, you work with everyone in sports, including owners of baseball, NBA, the NFL. It's hard to explain sometimes because I don't know these people like you do. Their mindset. Obviously, many are billionaires. Many get their way. What would it take for these owners to cash in this season?
Yeah, well, to get their way is an interesting thing because you have to define what their way means here. You clearly do want to save television revenue, and you clearly want to pay the players. If you cash it in, you're going to have a big debate over how many dollars go to the players and what happens to the stadiums that have been open. I think most owners, to be honest about it, are giving up the idea of having to have fans, although they said that a couple of months ago. And I think they're coming to grips with the idea of finding special content for the season ticket holders who have to stay at home. Yet, how many is too many? And where do you draw the line? And does it look terrible because you're going to have 20, 30 players infected, replaced by 20 or 30 more? It's yet to be determined, and I do know a lot of them, and they want to play badly, but they also don't want this getting away from them.
And in terms of their revenue, without fans, I know most everything is dictated by television money, but when you eliminate the fans, what are we talking about in terms of lost revenue here? Or are we talking about
NFL,
very much?
NFL is a very easy one to kind of generalize on because it's about the shared revenue, which is most of it is television, is about 65% to 75% or 65%, that's too much, of the revenue. The fans' revenue, 60% home, 40% visitors, but zero and zero will be their calculus for the rest of the season. So just an easy number, about half of the revenue is available to continue if there's some way to continue the season and have it on TV.
Rick Haro, The Weekly Report. Rick, thanks. So one of these days there may not be much news, but I rather doubt that's anytime soon.
No, we'll talk about other stuff, like your golf game or something.
My former golf game. Thanks, Rick. Great to have you on. It used to be a fun sport to play. Now I don't play it. We will continue with more of your phone calls. Heather Dinich later on. She interviewed Mark Emmert earlier today. Andy Katz in the next hour on where the NCAA is and where the protocols lie. And your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're back on what has already been a busy day. Don't forget Heather Dinich in the final hour. She interviewed Mark Emmert today. You can say he doesn't matter, and technically he doesn't, but he is the biggest name in intercollegiate athletics. As the president of the NCAA, what he says carries a lot of weight. And it's not like anyone else has been distinguishing themselves by kicking the can down the road, changing plans, delaying, literally making it up as we go along. So anyway, we'll talk to Heather. Andy Katz in the next hour. He has been all over the protocols. He works for Inside the NCAA. So a lot to do. Let's get back to your calls. And Tim is up next. Tim, thanks. Great to have you on.
Great to be on. You know, my take is going to be, I own one of the largest live event companies in the country. We're the profession of promoter. And, you know, Paul, nearly every major live event has been postponed until at least April of 21. You're talking about some of the largest concerts in the country, like Luke Combs, Taylor Swift, Pearl Jam, Chris Stapleton, you name it. My personal company, we've moved over 700 concerts to 2021. At the beginning of the year, when this pandemic was just starting, we were all postponing shows, you know, a month at a time. And you'd take a show down and you'd say, we'll announce the new date in 3 weeks. And you get to that point, you move it again, you move it again, you move it again, and finally, it's just easier because there's so many things, Paul, that has to happen when you cancel an event. There's so many people that it involves that eventually it just is. It's just easier and it's just less heartache to move that event to the following year. Obviously, I'm a lover of college football. I wouldn't be listening to your show if I didn't love college sports. But at some point, they're going to have to call the fans. Now, I don't know much about can they do athletics. I'm hoping they can. But at some point, the fans, every arena, you're talking about the greatest arenas in the country, Staples Center, American Airlines, Red Rocks is closed, Madison Square Garden, the greatest theaters, the greatest clubs, the House of Blues of Boston, they're all closed. All of them are closed across the country and most of them around the world. At what point are they going to call the fans? That was the main point I wanted to make, but I also want to leave you with a question is how much of college football can survive just on the television money? Because I can't see a world knowing, Paul, my company is one of the top five in the nation. Somebody like a guy like Mark Geiger at WME. I'm sure you've heard of that
sure,
agency.
Sure, absolutely.
WME. Mark Geiger, the top voice in the live entertainment, said on a podcast last week the next concert he could see would be 2022.
Oh my
which
goodness!
Let me ask you
because I'm having lived in Birmingham, I'm pretty familiar with your organization. And what are you folks doing right now other than just rearranging the decks, the chairs on the deck?
Paul, it's, you know, my company, you and I used to work together. We did the Bama Bowl bashes together.
Sure.
You know, we're all laid off, man. Most of our employees are laid off. Most of Live Nation has laid theirs off, AEG, all the great arenas. I mean, we're all at a standstill. I mean, there's a few drive-in concerts out there. We've all, you know, we did a thing with Alan Jackson and had him out in the field with a couple thousand cars. But even with the new uptick, even that went away. So
right.
We're all just sitting on our hands. We're waiting, you know, but the fans are gone. The fans in the live entertainment industry are gone until at least the end of first quarter of next year. And now we're all hoping that live sports will happen because that optic is what we need, you know, for our industry to come back. But I just can't see a way, you know. And the other thing, Paul, is every state has its own CDC guidelines in regards to social distancing. Should you be wearing a mask? They're all different. And how do you do that across several states with an SEC or, you know, throughout the NCAA? It's a very complicated thing. We empathize with what the NCAA is doing and how they're looking for clear water. They're looking for great news and for a vaccine and, you know, the uptick, I would say, after, you know, the last couple of weeks, the uptick that we all experienced definitely put a damper probably on what they were looking to do, because I know it did us. But Paul, the live event industry is at a standstill, and is at a standstill until at least April of 21.
And I'm curious, Tim. There's this old line. I think in the aftermath of the Jaws movies, when is it safe to go back in the water? When do you think people will feel comfortable going into a packed arena with 10, 15, 20,000 people?
That's really the question. I mean, we look at it like there's a day when it's legal to do it, then there's right. going to be a day when people actually feel comfortable doing it. You know, there's a lot of artists that are out there saying that if there's not a vaccine, they will not tour. There's several on that list. You know, it's hard to tell, and I think it could be until we get a vaccine. You know, but we're
Tim. I'm curious for your. You know, we're not talking about Taylor Swift, who can drop an album and have, you know, 80 billion downloads. But for your normal, I mean, major country rock star, how much of their income is derived from touring versus recording?
It's a great question, and we've been saying for years it's been normally at least 80%, Paul.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's why you see the Willie Nelsons of the world on the road constantly. The majority of the industry makes their living from the concert ticket. And because of that, there are millions of people out of work. You're talking about roadies, bus drivers, truck drivers, lighting directors. You can imagine. I mean, the whole industry, it's a real shame, and it's sad, and there's nothing we can do about it. But the artists are struggling. And they're looking for ways to be innovative and to get in front of their fans again. But, you know, we're not finding much luck at all getting our artists back to work.
That is, you know, I'm really glad you. I'm a huge music fan, and we had a number of music people on the show, and I wondered what, and they all said we're trying not to lay off our band and our people, but that was back in March and April.
Most of the artists right now, if they can just pay their salary, they'll take the show. If you see an artist working currently, it's mainly to just pay the salaries of their tour managers, of their production managers, and their managers and their staff. It's fun to watch. You know, I watch the show every day, and I hear you talk about they're trying to get fans in, and, you know, obviously we're hoping that we can figure that out, but I can tell you that the live entertainment industry is shut down until the first quarter of next year, and we're hoping that we can at least tour, you know, sometime in April.
So, obviously, I know what some of the big acts were this summer because I'd planned on going, but how does that change when, let's say, you get an idea that May 1st is a green light. What do you do?
May 1st next year?
I mean, just theoretically, I mean, you have all this non-activity for 14, 16 months. How do you start scheduling? Or is it a matter of who will go? I guess most will go out. Or let's say we have a vaccine.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Is there's a real epidemic. This is, you get into the minutia of the live concert industry. Availability is really a problem right now for next year, because you can imagine you're talking about stuffing 2 years of events into 1 year's calendar. But most of our major concerts are already on hold at the major arenas across the country for next year. And if we can make it till Christmas, I think a lot of us are hoping to get through Christmas, maybe go on sale for our tours that will be kicking off in April and May. But, you know, sometime in January, I think most of us are just hoping to get through the election, find a vaccine, and hopefully after Christmas, people will start to get out again, and we'll go on sale for tours that would start in April, May of next year. That's really where most.
And Tim, with some of these acts, we don't want to wait too long. I mean, I don't want to wait 5 years to see the Stones again. Do you?
You may not be able to, you know, but no, I totally agree. But I appreciate how you're covering everything with an open mind, Paul. Everyone wants to get back to work. We all love our sports. I think it'll be great for the psyche of America to see people back out again. much like we did with 9/11 on that first pitch that Bush threw out.
I agree. I totally agree.
How big was that? We need that, you know. So I'm hoping they can figure it out. And it's not easy. You know, I'm not saying to, hey, give the guys at the NCAA a break, because it changes all the time. But, you know, I'm hoping they can really bring the greatest minds and figure it out and get people back out again.
Well, Tim, I can't thank you enough, and you've given all of us something to think about. And, you know, we get so consumed with our own world that, I mean, that's an important part of our lives. And all the best to you, and hope to see you soon. And let's get
appreciate
past this,
Paul.
Quickly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, see you soon. Bye-bye.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Just think about we concentrate and fixate on the money, but all those jobs. I've had friends that were roadies who traveled all over the world, all over the country, and you just forget for a concert at your local arena how many people are involved. We'll take a break. That was really interesting. I appreciate Tim calling us. We are up against a break. More to come as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back, and Ricky in Mobile, Alabama is up next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Paul. Look, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for the people who don't believe on the Lord, but the Lord gave me a vision of what's going to happen. I know everybody don't believe, you know, don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you, this is Book of Revelation. If you had pastors on here that were really Christians, they would come on here and tell you exactly what I'm telling you. God's time is up for this world, and His wrath is being poured out. That's why it ain't going back, Paul. This is like a pause before the big storm comes in November. In September, the Christians probably be raptured out of here because the door's closing on the world, and He's fixing to come with wrath. And for 3.5 years, when the church leaves, 3.5 years, the world will experience the wrath of God and the destruction of this world as we know it.
And Ricky, just to make sure I understand you correctly, this is a vision that you've had, an epiphany. You've been sent a message. Exactly where are you getting this information?
Revelation, the Book of Revelation, and for life. I thought you was raised in the church, Paul, didn't it?
Well, no. Hold on. I understand Revelations. I'm just understanding. I'm trying. I mean, it's there. But how did you determine, Ricky, that it's coming right now?
Because of the Revelation 20, when you're in the Bible and you're reading and you've been watching God for 22 years like I have, and watching everything and praying every day and, you know, seeking God's face, he allows those people to have the end time visions that they're seeing through. It ain't like you have a dream, you know, like a dream or nothing like that. It's just, it's like a vision, you know what I mean? I don't know, it's hard to explain, but you see the outcome of it. And plus, if you go to Albert Pike's World War III letters, you'll see where they planned this for the last 120 years. They're all in on it together. They are absolutely, and the people that don't make any sense, you know, this going back and forth, or this state does this and that state does this, that's the wrath of God being poured out that caused them to turn against each other, because their time is up. It's all about Jesus Christ. People, I beg you, repent and believe the gospel. He's about to come, and this is it. And I beg all y'all, most of y'all listening here went to church at one time or another. I know you're in the South. I know you do. I'm telling you, everything them preachers have told us for the last 100 years is fixing to happen. And I pray, look, if y'all want to escape the wrath of God, you better get in the boat, because for 120 years, Noah preached to them to tell them it was going to rain. Well, that
hold on, Ricky, I have to interrupt, and I apologize. So you're saying this is dependent on the election?
No.
I thought you said you have to vote.
No, listen to me, Paul. Everybody does need to get involved, but don't be trying to backplay me for something. I'm telling people that they do need to.
Well, no, Ricky, I just want to know why now? Why not last year? Why not next year? Why now?
I don't know, Paul. Ask God's business, not mine.
Okay, well, it seemed like you had some inside information here. That's all.
Listen to me. The Holy Spirit's in me. Every Christian has Jesus Christ in them. The Almighty God is in me, and He tells me exactly what's coming. He tells all the believers that have the Spirit in them. I promise you, everybody that loves the Lord is ready for this moment, Paul, all around the world, that are ready and watching for His return. And if this is biblical, because it's worldwide, everybody, I mean, people in the Philippines and China and Pakistan, I don't care where it is, everybody got a mask on their face and wondering what the hell's going on. And I'm telling y'all, it's God coming. And you need to look up and talk to God. Ask God, Paul. Pray to God. Say, Lord, if I'm not saved and if I don't believe, I want to be. Or I want to know, because He does know what's coming, because He is in control of this. And I'm telling you, He's a good God. He wants to save those who want to be saved and come to Him to be delivered from this wrath to come. Brother, they fish to crank it up like you wouldn't believe. I know exactly what's coming, Paul. And it's from studying and staying in the Word and watching God and watching what's going on in the whole, you know, because God has Christians praying every day for people to come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. That's all I do every day, is read the Bible and find, watch what's going on and pray over this world in different areas and ministries and stuff. We feed people all over the world, man. I feed people all over the world, Paul, and give them my hard-earned money so they will eat and have a day's meal. I'm telling you, people are dying by the millions right now from starvation, from this shutdown, just like that guy got through saying. He's worried about the crew going back. Man, there's 50 million people out of work right now. There ain't nobody going to be worried about no sports if they ain't got no job, Paul. And it's the reason why God's shutting it all down like He is. He's trying to get everybody to look up. He's trying to get everybody to see this is Him doing this. This is Him allowing the wicked, the devils, to take over the world and kill everybody because they would not believe on His Son that He put on that cross to shed His blood. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ. This world ain't about us. It ain't about our lives. It ain't about our careers. It ain't about none of that junk. It's about being saved from our sins and delivered from the power of the devil and our sin. That's why everybody's drug addicts. That's why everybody's alcoholics. That's why everybody's messed up. Because they are lost from the garden of Adam and Eve. When we sinned in that garden, brother, we died in our sins and Satan become our master. This is his world. This is his system. It's not God's. And God's fixing to destroy this one and wipe the earth off with fire. And then we're going to new heaven and new Jerusalem coming down. And I beg everybody to seek God and find out for themselves. I mean, ain't that fair? I mean, just seek the Lord and find out. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely now. Today is the day of salvation. Y'all see the storm. You see the world in chaos. That ought to make you look up and say, Lord, what is going on? That's exactly what He wants you to do. He wants you to seek Him. And He wants you to repent of your sin. And if you don't, you know what I'm saying? If you don't, you got a trouble with it, you're struggling with it, just talk to God about it. Ask Him to show you the truth, because the world and the colleges...
Ricky, I want to thank you for the call. I hate to do this, but we were at the end of the hour, and we must go to a break. But thank you, and appreciate that very much. We'll take a break.